All right, welcome into Morning Invest on this November 30th, 2021. So lots of concerns over the Omicron variant this morning. The markets were up, then they were down, then they're bouncing back. Big concerns over whether or not this thing is going to sweep the world. And Big Pharma is set to make billions off of these Omicron variants. So we'll talk about how much money they stand to make and patents and all of this coming up in just a moment.
And Amazon thought they spiked on that union vote. Well, not so fast. Now a federal official has ordered them to take another round of it. This is what they did not want. We're going to discuss what's going to happen with that and why.
Yeah. And Kyle Rittenhouse, is he ready to pull out some big lawsuits against media companies for tarnishing him ahead of the trial? Well, we'll tell you the truth on that story coming up, and so much more as Morning Invest starts right now. You ready to get uncomfortable? If you're not uncomfortable already, let's do it.
I'm comfortable, except I feel like I have a hair. Like, you know when you feel like there's an errant hair and you just can't find it, and you're like...
Sometimes I feel that's that like in my mouth. Like,
that's I can't what I am right that, now.
You know, like it's like caught on your lip or something. You're like, come on. People just think you're like doing some weird thing. Like I got a tick or something.
Yeah. So if you see me going like this, we don't have teleprompters. I'm just kind of, I don't know what's going on today. Like I feel a phantom hair right now. But we are going to talk about the Omicron virus and its continued impact on stock markets, on the world, and on the bottom lines of those who make the most money out of it.
So you might be saying, wow, man, this variant's really bad, right? This variant's really bad for everyone. Well, not so much for all of the big pharma companies who are making just oodles and oodles of money off of these variants and the variants of variants and COVID-19 vaccines, and the list goes on and on. So this new variant, as Matt Stoller tweets, isn't bad news for everyone. Yesterday, Moderna came out, and let me just put up their stock price this morning. Moderna up 11% this morning because they, you know, it's interesting to hear the CEO of Moderna come out yesterday and say, you know, we don't think that our vaccine is going to work against this Omicron variant, so we're going to tweak some things. And then the head of Pfizer comes out and says, well, we think that ours actually will work against all forms of COVID. So we're going to still keep an eye on it. But meanwhile, no one knows because we don't have any data on this yet. We don't know. And so you have all these government officials right now who are like spinning their wheels trying to tell us how to act and how to respond. President Biden comes out yesterday and says, I don't think that we need to go into another lockdown just yet. We need to have an abundance of caution, but we don't need to panic.
But now the CDC is outright recommending that everyone get a booster. It originally was talk to your doctor, see if the booster is necessary. It is good for some immunocompromised people. Now they're saying it's good for everyone, folks. Go get the third vaccine because we think this is our best bet against this virus that we only just met.
Yeah. And I apologize, guys, if you're hearing the audio interface here. This audio interface got fried a few days ago during a power outage and power surge. We are still awaiting for the arrival of the new one. So we had to order it special. It's very costly, and I'm very pissed that this one, an amp got blown. So if you're listening to the show and you're worried about some of the hotness of the microphones, I apologize. That's what the issue is.
I'll back up a little.
Yeah, so she gets really hot on the microphone. But anyway, we've got some news on Big Pharma, specifically how these big pharmaceutical companies are going to extra lengths right now to stop whistleblowers from exposing corporate fraud internally.
So the story goes that there is a law called the False Claims Act. It has been used since Civil War era to protect whistleblowers. But in recent years, the courts have struck it down because they say that what is presented as material evidence is in fact not material evidence if the company being accused still has a government contract. This to me sounds, it's so crazy. I don't understand I clearly just don't understand it because it sounds so crazy.
Let me just get this right. Right. So let's say I am Pfizer. You are the government. Okay, I have a contract with you because, yes, you know, you've paid me billions to, yes, make something, right? And then there's somebody at the company that notices that we're doing something nefarious. Yes. So this person at the company blows the whistle on their illegal practices, right?
Yes.
At Pfizer, right? Well, apparently that then is moot because you and I have a contract together.
So the government will by default take your side if you become a partner or a contractor to the government, which is crazy, right? So Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa has decided to repeal some of these restrictions around the False Claims Act. And he has bipartisan support to do so. But these votes have been delayed because we're finding out now that so many lobbyists with a lot of corporate money behind them are trying to push back against this, specifically Pfizer. Who else? Genentech, Merck, AstraZeneca, Amgen, the American Hospital Association. So what they're saying is that, no, we can't empower whistleblowers because if then we have to suffer litigation as a result of whistleblowers, then that's going to cost us a whole heck of a lot more money and we're going to have to, pass this extra cost down to consumers and then everybody's healthcare premiums will go up because we're all now fighting lawsuits together, which to me is just, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Right. And you have these companies that are spending billions or millions of dollars in lobbying efforts to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Yes.
So these companies, I mean, it's like if I did something wrong and then you knowingly are spending millions of dollars to cover up something that you did wrong. Why would you spend that money if you didn't do something wrong, right?
But then also, every company is incentivized to have a government contract.
Right, so now you're incentivizing them to make sure, as like an insurance policy, that they have a government contract. Because this government contract will then like protect you in the case of litigation.
I mean, I understand there are nuances to every case, but I do not understand a judge saying, well, we cannot allow material evidence as long as that business is in business for the government. So then businesses who have contracts with the government, such as the pharmaceutical companies that are giving us all the vaccines, are government contractors and therefore protected by default protected for whatever they're doing.
Well, and look who they're hiring right now. So if you're sitting there at home wondering like, oh man, these guys are the good guys, right? These big pharmaceutical companies, these guys are the good guys. And I don't discount what their efficacy has held, you know, in this pandemic. Like, we don't have enough data on all of that yet to come out and say one way or the other. But when you're Pfizer and you're basically casting yourself as a hero in all of this, and you're a trustworthy corporate citizen, as The Intercept points out, and they won't even respond to a request for comment as to why they're hiring lobbyists right now to go in to the government, to the halls of the Capitol, to protect their ability to hide fraud. In fact, interestingly, Pfizer has hired Hazen Marshall, who is a former policy director of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
He's a what? A policy what?
He's a former policy director for Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Pfizer hired this guy to lobby on this issue, along with a law firm, which has a huge host of former congressional staff members, to lobby on this issue to try to make sure that they can still basically cover up fraud and that any whistleblowers that come forward that want to speak, they won't have a chance. And these guys will get squashed. Now, this new legislation under this new False Claims Amendment Act of 2021 adjusts the materiality of the standard to include instances in which the government made payments despite knowledge of fraud. So the idea is that now the government could basically say, well, we gave money to Pfizer. We didn't know they were fraudulent. We didn't know that they were doing fraudulent things. Mm-hmm. And if other reasons exist for continuing that contract, the bill also expands the anti-retaliation protections of the law so that if you are a whistleblower, Pfizer can't just retaliate against you in that way, which currently only covers a whistleblower employees of a company. Outside of a government contract. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. But it's not surprising at all that these companies, these big pharmaceutical companies, are spending millions. There's another story I saw this morning where, I mean, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars in lobbying money to make sure that the pharmaceutical costs of your drugs are kept high.
Yes.
They are spending millions, hundreds of millions. I think it's upwards of $300 million to lobby Congress to make sure that you continue to pay large, high amounts of prescription drugs.
So then this company line, like, hey, we don't want to have to pay for litigation because we have to price pass that price on.
Right.
It's bull honky is what it is. It's a load of phooey.
Mm-hmm.
It's total crap. It's like other euphemisms like that.
I like the built-in like protection where they say you can't be a whistleblower, you can't bring up this material evidence, but then the government's saying, but if we didn't know about the fraud, we can't be held liable for it. So it's sort of like they're saying, you can't bring this up, so we'll never know about it, so we're never liable.
It just makes me so crazy. Yeah. For instance, the idea that like right now there's this group of scientists that's asking, based on Freedom of Information Act, how did the FDA approve the vaccines? And the pharma companies are saying, we'll get you that information over the course of 55 years through their lawyers at the Justice Department. So it's clear that that federal agencies are they're like this with the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
And, you know, that's troubling.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely troubling. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. You know, big pharma, I think, and we certainly see the amount of money that they're going to be spending or trying to raise from the government, new government contracts. What we see this morning from Pfizer, Moderna, and others are that, hey, our current vaccines might not be that efficacious against this new Omicron, so let's set up a new contract for a new booster, for a new variant booster. Let's make even more money. And we hold the patents, right? They hold the patents even though the actual vaccine, you know, is not theirs. Like, yes. The actual, it's government-based. It's you and I own this, right? We've spent the money as taxpayers, and they get the billions of dollars in benefits as a result of it, and they get to walk all over people as a result. Anyway.
Well, I think here, in Oregon, they're paying $35. They just passed this where they're paying $35 per vaccine given in Oregon to pharmacies. It's supposed to help small pharmacies, but then so there's like other provisions in there to help smaller pharmacies, but the $35 per shot is still going to any of the big pharma companies.
Look, we're not saying they're doing, you know, nefarious things. We're saying they're protecting themselves and they're going to great lengths to make sure that we don't know what they're doing, right? So exactly. We don't know what they're doing. But we, as humans, we don't like that. That's not how transparency runs. And so it smells bad, but we're not saying that they're, we don't know. We would like to.
Well, and I should also point out, as we know, other countries don't operate this way. There are other countries that have, you know, transparency laws. Look at Singapore, look at New Zealand, right? I mean, you cannot get away with this kind of stuff in other countries. And yes. You can't, you know, and
have lobbyists in Singapore and they have no corruption, but also their politicians make about four times more than politicians in the United States because they don't have to spend their time lobbying or accepting money for lobbying campaigning.
Campaigning, right. Yeah. Taking bribes and everything else that they've got. So things to think about. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about Amazon, the supply chain, what you can expect to be paying for things, and why is the government weirdly getting involved in that story, plus Kyle Rittenhouse in a moment. But we want to tell you about our first show sponsor, our friends at Public. Because, you know, what's amazing is it can be so confusing, right, to get started investing. But what's amazing about Public is how easy it is to start to learn how to get investing in stocks and crypto using their app. I'm going to tell you, it's going to blow your mind. Plus, you're going to get some free stock. That's right. You're going to get free stock. You can start with as little as $1 investing, and you can get a free slice of stock up to $50 when you join public.com today, just using the link on your screen. So what is Public? Well, it makes it easy to learn and invest, and it surrounds you with a community of others who are investing in stocks and ETFs as well as crypto. If you feel more confident investing, then that's what you should be doing, because if you feel more confident investing in crypto and stocks as a result of being on Public, share it with your friends. And what's amazing is you share it with your friends and you create a community. It's like a social network for investing. I love Public because if you don't know a lot, you can start to learn right there through different news articles, and you follow people who are publishing different setups and things that they're watching in the stock market, things that they're investing in. And you can follow individuals like me, like I'm on there, and one of my long-term portfolios is on Public. So when I make an investment, say in Apple or something like that, you'll see it in the feed. You'll see that, oh, Clayton just invested in this. And so you can follow along. And I can make a little post about it and explain why I just invested in Apple or why I just invested in X, Y, and Z company. And I'm not telling you to invest in any companies right now. I'm just giving you an example, okay? But it works that way. And it's so clean and easy to use. And now that they've added crypto, it's fantastic. All in one place. You can exchange ideas and insights with a community of investors and build your portfolio with confidence and invest in popular cryptocurrencies. And I love that they take the privacy of their community seriously. So they don't sell any of your stuff to third-party brokerages, and all of their stuff is handled so there's no middleman. It's all done right there inside of Public. Now, if you want to get $50 up to, in a free slice of stock up to $50, you can start investing with as little as $1. Get a free slice of stock up to $50 when you join public.com today. Just visit public.com/morning to download the app and sign up using code morning. That's public.com/morning and use the code morning. Valid for U.S. residents 18 years and older. Subject to account approval, see public.com/disclosures and not investment advice. All right.
All right. Well, Amazon is going to have to face another union vote after the government has ordered them to do it again on accusations that they may have intimidated or somehow skewed the vote against them for specifically this facility in Alabama. This would, if as a reminder, this vote happened earlier this year and the stakes were high. It was so much so that President Biden actually came out in favor of this union vote, where he has typically stayed out of these types of things. And now Amazon is being ordered to do it again. If it passes, it would be Amazon's first union.
Yeah, so the decision by the National Labor Relations Board basically rests on whether or not they would install a mailbox in front of the fulfillment center to collect employees' mail-in ballots for the union election. So what they did is they had like confusing mailboxes set up.
Yes.
Plus they had, internally, they had so much paraphernalia and propaganda.
Anti-union
propaganda. Like when you went to the bathroom, people were complaining about this. You would go to a bathroom stall to take a break, which is hilarious because, you know, in Amazon trying to get a bathroom break.
You're not supposed to be able to do that.
So they go to the bathroom. They're in the bathroom stall, and there's propaganda looking at them while they're in the stall about why you should vote anti-union. Like, can I have any privacy at all? So you were not allowed to promote unionization at all. You had to do it across the street. So that's why you see in a lot of these videos, you see like a lot of the drivers and people, like they're outside across the street. They're not even in the building because they're not allowed to be. They're not even allowed to be there talking about pro-unionization inside of Amazon. They have to go across the street.
And also this federal investigation found that they had cameras in and around the voting centers. They placed different kind of mailboxes with the voting ballot boxes, and they say that caused confusion. And absolutely right, they didn't allow anyone from the union on the campus to educate voters, right? In fact,
those mailboxes were branded. They were branded Amazon boxes, and they were in under an Amazon tent. So it's like that was where the confusion came from. They actually branded the anti-union voting. Like it.
Okay. That's what that was. Okay.
Yeah, that's where that confusion came from. Sorry.
I mean, it seemed like it was a slam dunk. Like they were able to say, because the votes were 1,798 against unionization and 738 for. But that's little surprise if you realize that these workers felt intimidated and they weren't actually able to speak with union people one-on-one and make an informed choice, not to mention the fact that, you know, they're on such tight clock, they didn't have much time for it. My stepdad, he worked for Tesla years ago, and he was telling me that union officials were allowed in their lunchroom, even. Like, they could speak to them, and the Tesla went so far as to allow them to come in. So he felt like he could have conversation with them, but no, this was not the case for this last vote.
And Philip, you worked at Amazon. So I'm curious, what did you experience that? Where did you have, was there a unionization move where you were, and what was the pushback, or if you did experience that at all?
No, I did not experience it at all. It was, but I feel like our facility was a little bit different. Maybe it was just because it was in Portland. It was nothing like what any of the horror stories you hear about. I mean, it was still intense work. I actually kind of enjoyed it, which is an unpopular opinion. It was like one of the most fun jobs I've had. But I got to work I got to work with the robots, so I had a different experience than most people do. But I don't think it ever came up one way or the other.
Interesting.
I mean, in Canada,
about
a year and a half.
So, yeah, you didn't have it in Portland. I know in Canada, they've moved towards unionization in Canada, voting there. And, you know, and then in Alabama, of course, they've gone to great lengths to stop that. And, you know, Bernie Sanders famously flew down and spoke at a rally there, talking about why, you know, we've got to teach the young people about the power of a union so that they're not, you know, some of the things that they're complaining about, of course, is the overstretched hours, where they don't have time for bathroom breaks, where their quotas are so high that they don't have, you know, they're peeing in bottles and things like that, or just, you know, making sure that they have proper vacation days, they're not working, they're, you know,
that they're paid appropriately for time and a half or for overtime. Yes, these are kind of things that the union will go to bat for that individuals cannot. The power of the collective is usually, not always, it can be better.
Here's what the regional director has indicated. Amazon's intimidation and interference prevented workers from having a fair say in whether they wanted to join a union in their workplace. Amazon workers deserve to have a voice at work, which can only come from a union. That's what they say. So let us know your thoughts on this. We'll see what Amazon does here in round 2.0. See if Bernie Sanders is going to make another trip down there. We'll see.
And how long they get to hold the election too. Will they be allowed to campaign for a long time? Will both sides sort of like reprint their materials, or will it be a completely new tactic on the part of each side? It will be interesting.
And Amazon didn't respond for comment on this story. So Amazon's just being tight-lipped about it, quiet, etc.
Well,
so,
we didn't ask Amazon. They didn't respond to anybody.
Any press reports, no. So
well, they did file an appeal already, so that's probably their whole response is just
we don't agree with this.
We're not doing that.
We're not going to do this. We already filed our appeal. All right. We got more news to get to. Let's talk about the supply chain this morning and what's happening with all of these long lines. And, you know, there's reports this morning that at the ports, we're starting to see some loosening. But then there are other reporters saying, I don't see that to be the case. Where, you know, the president is coming out talking about there's a loosening at the Los Angeles ports and other places, and things should, you know, start to get back to normal again, and we shouldn't maybe pay as much for things, and the supply chain is better. You'll be able to get your computer chips and all of your food items and everything, but maybe not so fast. And now we're looking at why the FDA, or the FTC, excuse me, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is getting involved in this more deeply.
It's a strange thing. So this morning, or last night rather, the FTC released a press release saying that they're looking into supply chain issues. They have given major retailers 45 days to comply because they specifically want internal documents regarding the supply chain disruptions, including strategies related to supply chains, pricing, marketing and promotion, costs, profit margins and sales volumes, selection of supplier and brands, and market shares. So they're asking these companies such as Walmart, Amazon, Kraft Heinz, Tyson Foods, Procter & Gamble, and Kroger. What it seems to me they're looking for is, have these companies price gouged at a time when supply chains are tight? Have they knowingly taken more profits? Have they presented to the public something different than what was true? I guess I'm fine with that. It's just strange to me to put, anytime a government agency puts out a press release like that, I'm like, why are you doing this? What is it that you want us to think? They're really presenting themselves like they're saying, hey, we're not saying anything criminal here. We're not accusing anybody of anything, but we would like to let you know that we're on it. We're looking at it, and we're going to let. I don't know. I
am bothered by it too. I agree with you. I mean, you know, like you release. So the federal government releases a press release, and they in the press release name names. okay? Now, I know we just did a story on Amazon about their union practices, okay? So I'm not holding up Amazon as some sort of, you know, like, yes, you know, they don't have a problem here. But what I'm saying is they're saying we didn't, we're just letting you know that you're on watch. And now we just want some answers. And in 45 days from the date of the order, you have to respond. And these are the companies we're specifically looking at. Tyson Foods, Kraft Heinz, Procter & Gamble, et cetera.
Right.
Like, you've got, you guys have some time to respond.
I mean, it's interesting to do that when presumably these companies will not have a day in court to show what they have or haven't done, to just impugn somebody this way.
And using the FTC as like a bludgeoned, almost like a political weapon.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you're doing, essentially. You're running the FTC. If you're President Biden, you know, your government is running the Federal Trade Commission. So you're ordering Walmart, Amazon, Kroger, and other these large wholesalers and suppliers to turn over information, and then you're releasing a press release about it.
Yes.
So, like, what's going on with these empty shelves and sky-high prices? Clearly, it's not like us shutting down the economy for a number of months, you know, going under lockdown. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's you, Kroger. Maybe it's you, Walmart. And what about sky-high prices? Like, where is that? Who's to blame for all of that? Do you not think that this has to do with inflation? So to me, this is like a diversionary tactic. Like, we're seeing this sky-high inflation right now.
Yes.
Over basic goods. I mean, we're talking about healthcare, gas, food, right? These are the things in areas where we're seeing sky-high prices. Areas where we're not, where we're actually seeing deflationary prices, are on things that we don't even need or buy once every 3 years or 4 years, like a television, right? So we're seeing $100 less for large televisions. That's interesting. But we're seeing sky-high prices, 30% increases in healthcare. And so to me, this is like a diversionary tactic. It's a way of the Biden administration to say, don't look over here.
Well, history tells us that once we print more money or go on spending sprees, once the government does that, inflation happens. We have the historical data to prove it. So the Biden administration is on a spending spree. They've passed two very expensive social spending programs, plus they've upped their budget on military spending by 20%. And then we're going to pretend that that politics is not responsible for the resulting inflation. And then we're going to name names. I mean, this is the thing we hated James Comey for, right? Is that he impugned Hillary Clinton without giving her the chance to actually have her day in court. When you say something, like, the government has a responsibility to say people's names responsibly because those things have a consequence.
Right.
But they're just saying, like, we're not doing it. Has nothing to do with our policy. We're going to look at those bad guys and see. And we don't, we're not saying that these guys are the bad guys. We don't know.
No, and I just think that it's weird. I mean, go ahead, Philip.
I was going to say, like, it's funny to me that when you look at that list, like the petroleum industry, big pharma, they're not on there. Banks, all these other people that have just clearly like just fleeced us during the lockdown with all the price hikes. I mean, if you look like the price of gas, but they're not on that list. You know, it's just interesting to me. Why isn't
OPEC on those?
More lobbying. It's like they're like, you know who's not lobbying us enough? Who's not giving us enough money? The grocers. How do we get them to do that? Let's slap them with this.
Yeah, let's go after Costco, right? Let's go after. So one of the things in this that stands out to me, right? They want to understand. They say right in the beginning, like, we want to understand why there's empty shelves, like, why people couldn't get their Halloween masks. Like, why were people trying to get toilet paper and they just can't, right? And there's all of these shortages and all of these things. So is it really that they ran out of toilet paper, or is it something more nefarious?
Right. Are these companies stockpiling toilet paper in order to sell them on a black market? Is that what we're going to find?
And by the way, I mean, this just goes to show you how onerous the United States is for regulations. So now what you're doing is you're asking all of these companies to spend time, attention, and resources. It's probably going to cost them millions of dollars.
Oh, yes.
To go through and pull out paper. They're going to have to dedicate people on a team, right? They're going to have to take, like, people that would be doing other things for their company And now they're going to specifically have to sit down and go through. They only have 45 days.
I mean, this will go to the lawyers. This will make lawyers a lot of money.
Yeah. So who's going to benefit from this? Because the idea that you and I as consumers are going to somehow benefit from this?
No, I don't buy that. I don't know who would read this and be like, wow, the FTC, they're heroes.
Well, and also, can I just highlight? Yeah, can I just highlight something else in this? What they specifically say in this press release: supply chain disruptions are upending the provision and delivery of a wide array of goods, ranging from computer chips and medicines to meat and lumber. Okay, medicines. Okay, so again, to Philip's point. Okay, so why are the if medicines are specifically what you're talking about here? Where are some of the major pharmaceutical manufacturers in this? I mean, get a Procter & Gamble, I guess. Is Procter & Gamble, how many medicines are Procter & Gamble making? I mean, but who?
Well, they make, I think, over-the-counter like things. Stuff, aren't
they? Yeah. Yeah, like cleaning supplies, like Lysol and stuff, right?
But I thought they made like cough drops too. I'm going to have to look that up.
But my point is, to Philip's point about medicines, right? If that's literally in your sticking point here, computer chips? Do you know that computer chips come from, I mean, we don't make computer chips in the United States.
Right.
Like, okay, you're going to reach out to China?
You'd also have to reach out to China for a lot of that meat.
And lumber, by the way. Lumber, like a huge portion of our lumber comes from Canada.
Right.
Like, we build homes. Like, I know this, right? So our team builds homes, and the lumber that we would get comes, you know, from British Columbia and Canada. Well, whose fault is that? So again, targeting these specific companies is just odd. I just find it really bizarre.
That's a good point about the medicines. Yeah. Good point, honey.
Thank you. See, this shirt might make me look like a like a lager today. Well, I've got some brains in
there. Yeah, I'm looking at Procter & Gamble products. It's more like Old Spice and stuff like that. Deodorants. Yeah,
like what I'm wearing today, like Old
baby
Spice.
Baby powder and that kind of stuff, you know, I think is
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything here that looks like a medicine. I'm just double checking. Oh, no, yeah, I was right. I said I thought they made cough drops. They make Vicks cough and cold products.
So. Okay.
Okay.
Was there a shortage of Vicks?
There you go.
I don't think so.
I don't know. You know, like, I was raised by a Latin mom and a Latin grandma, and we love Vicks. Like, it's like on My Big Fat Greek Wedding, how they love Windex. That's how Latins are with Vicks.
They can really anything, right?
And so I am surprised that sales of Vicks have not been through the roof.
I grew up covered in Vicks, so that was just like, if we it didn't matter what the ailment was, that was the first line of defense to anything was, all right, cover them in Vicks, and then
yes,
you got a sore knee, you have a sore knee, Vicks, get Vicks Vapo Rub on his chest.
Actually, that's how I got into more natural healing, because I was using Vicks in a vaporizer for our daughter, and she had a really bad reaction to camphor. And I realized that synthetic camphor can cause a lot of problems in children. But if you use sort of the more real type of camphor, then you don't have that same problem. And you realize that a lot of these like chemical versions of natural remedies are how these companies make money, because you can't patent, say, lavender or tea tree oil, right? But you can make a synthetic version, patent that, and then sell it. And that's how these companies make so much money. But it's actually cheaper and better for us to
use
find the natural version of this.
Wait a minute. You're telling me using real things, like real camphor oil, real lavender, is better than something that Procter & Gamble makes a synthetic in their laboratory?
The synthetic camphor I put in that dehumidifier, or the
diffuser.
It's not a diffuser. It's a humidifier. Yeah, vaporizer.
Right.
And our middle daughter was sick, and then she started shaking uncontrollably. And I was like, what is this? Maybe I overdosed her with this camphor. And then I realized, oh, that's a synthetic, and this is a known side product, side effect. And we took her into the walk-in clinic, and it took a while for her to come off of that reaction. I was scared to death.
So she was,
and
like,
then I realized, like, oh, you could actually use just small amounts of real camphor if you can find it, which is not that hard to find, and we wouldn't have this side effect. And also, it's not a product that any pharmaceutical can patent.
Sharon says, oh, I didn't even realize there was a synthetic camphor. Yeah, it's scary. In fact, when that night, I remember, like she was reading about it after she'd done the vaporizer, and she was reading about how you should never use like fake camphor oil in a vaporizer because it can cause like a neurological like almost like a over caffeinated reaction. So yeah. She jumps up out of bed. She's like, oh my God.
I poisoned her.
Yeah. She ran in and she unplugged the damn thing.
Cause I was raised to think that Vicks is a miracle. Yeah. And you know, to me, it was very like shifted my whole worldview. If Vicks is not the solution to everything.
Yeah.
And it just rides in its petroleum, you know, like base. So, you know, it's like you've got that synthetic thing just in basically oil.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So instead, you know, I still use camphor in a carrier oil, like a grapeseed oil or olive oil. And then I put a little bit of that or, you know, some eucalyptus or something. And then I rub it on my kids. And it's not a synthetic version. It's just something that I've made myself. And it has side effects. It's quite nice. Well, although they hate the sort of tingy, tingliness of the eucalyptus. They're babies about it. They're like, it's tingling.
You want to tell us about ShipStation, okay. And then we're going to talk about what's going on with the Kyle Rittenhouse lawsuits and more on the show.
All right. Well, you know, it's the holidays. We've already gone past Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Small Business Saturday and all of those fun retail type holidays, I will say. Now is the time of year where if you're running an online business, you cannot be bothered shipping products one by one. You must automate this and you must have a supplier or a solution that will help you do it better. With ShipStation, the hassle of shipping out holiday orders just melts away and leaves you with happier customers and more freedom to run your own business. If you sell anything online, of course, you know that shipping can be a hassle. It is a pain. You don't want to just, you know, put things in boxes and print out labels one by one and figure out who gets what and whether they get the right thing. That is too hard. With more people shopping every year, the holiday stress just doesn't help. So ShipStation makes it easier by running your online store so that you can get back to doing what you're passionate about, which is growing your own business. You can easily import your orders from pretty much every sales channel, Amazon, eBay, Etsy, your own website, and automate just about any ship task so that the things people order get to them in a timely manner and they get actually what they order. It's no wonder 98% of companies that use ShipStation for a year keep using it for as long as they're in business because it is that good. Now, this holiday season, it will be a little brighter for you to use ShipStation because we have this special offer. If you use the code INVEST, you get a 60-day free trial. So that's in 60 days, guys, the holidays will be over. So you can use it for the duration of the holidays. See how awesome it is. And then you're going to want to stay on. So go to ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top and enter the code INVEST. With ShipStation, you can make ship happen.
All right. Let's talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal. And what is next for this young guy and this teenager who now ponders life after this Kenosha acquittal? If you've been following social media over the past few days, you may have seen posts claiming that Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be suing a whole host of media companies for defamation, painting him as a, you know, as a murderer, etc. And specifically, there was a tweet that was making its rounds, and then it was shared on Facebook that had 570,000 shares of this post on Facebook claiming that Kyle Rittenhouse was going to sue The View, had filed a $60 million lawsuit against The View's Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. And it said, let the games begin, a Facebook post. So it was shared 540,000 times. Well, you know what they say about lies, right? That lies can spread all around the world, what is it, twice or something like that, before truth has a chance to put on its pants? What's the story?
I have no idea what that
maybe I'm just
like
making
you just
that
made
up.
That up.
No, that's a phrase, yeah, something like that. You were very close to it.
Does it sound like I just made that up? Because if it does, I'm just going to keep saying like I came up with this. I'm like, you know what daddy always says? A lie can travel two times around the world before
truth. Every lie, there are 50 million retweets.
Before truth has a chance to put on its pants. I think it's like Mark Twain said something like that. or Clayton Morris. I don't know. But anyway, Kyle Rittenhouse has filed a $60 million defamation lawsuit against The View. Well, that is not true. And according to, that's the wrong tweet. That's Bob Barker. According to the tweet, the Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund, as of now, the Rittenhouse team has not filed any legal actions against media organizations. But they say, well, maybe Joe Biden should be next. Maybe The View should be next. Maybe CNN should be next.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, there's questions as to whether or not Joe Biden could be sued as a result of this. Could Joe Biden actually be sued as a result of the comments that he made about, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse for defamation?
Well, I think it would be really hard to win a defamation case.
Why is that?
Because it was such a public case, and most of the things that were said about him were said that, like, they're not things that you can empirically prove are false, right? So if you said about me that I am transgendered, right, I can prove that that's not true with just a medical exam, right? And so I could say, oh, that person said something that I can prove it's false. But how do you prove, like, what are the things that they said about him that you can prove are false? For instance, he's a thug. Well, you're allowed to call people a thug. I'm not saying he's a thug, but I'm talking about the things that was said. I just feel like, and it was a very public case, and they are media professionals. I think that this falls under freedom of speech, whatever it is they said. Now, I don't agree with the way they took on the framing of that case. I don't agree with the way I took it on, even. Like, before some of those videos were released, I thought something completely different. But I don't think that anything that they said was specifically defamatory.
Brian Cody corrects. He says, Clayton, he gave me the proper quote from Mark Twain. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes.
Oh.
Mark Twain.
Love it.
I like putting on pants better.
Okay. Well.
That's going to be my quote. So that'll be my version of it.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you.
I'm fine with that.
So, thank you.
Nothing to add.
I'm glad you. But anyway, the question about Joe Biden, I mean, so if the president of the United States, or even then a non-president of the United States, running for president of the United States, former vice president, sends out a tweet basically linking Kyle Rittenhouse to white supremacists, is that actual malice as what? I mean,
okay, yes.
That's a good question, right?
Did he say if you call someone a white supremacist and they're not, right? I guess you could call someone a racist and that could influence opinions about him. But can't you call people, I mean, that's sort of the liberal shtick these days. We call everybody a racist, right? Like,
don't
with
say
impunity.
We, right? Don't say
we
don't,
is in the
yeah,
woke
we is the,
culture,
the woke,
right?
The woke, you know, left. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I agree. So, what is that? Neepak says. Then, you know, is that a white supremacist? Is that just an, you know? I don't know, but I think that there. It's just so hard to win a defamation case. That and the burden of proof is on you to prove that they said something with malice and that they said something that they did not, that they knew to be untrue. Those burdens of proof are really high. I don't think that this kid is going to be getting involved in anything like that.
Does he want that?
I don't think he does.
Because
I mean, I don't know what he thinks. But
the amount of money that it would take to go after this, and yeah, it's very, very difficult in a free speech society to. I know we might think we're not in a free speech society anymore, given all the censorship that's going on. But when it comes to a court of law, like they'd have to prove intent, right? They would have to go to a level of proving Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, knew something and were doing it consciously, and right? I mean, they would have to go.
But then he, as the defender, as the plaintiff, would have to prove that he is not any of the things that he takes issue with, right? So they may say, oh, maybe he took issue with him saying it was racially motivated and premeditated. And then he would have to prove that it's not. And so he opens himself up for all kinds of discovery, which would be painful on his point. And the kid's been through a lot of pain. I don't see someone like this. I don't know, unless you're a glutton for punishment. And I think the legal bills are probably not an issue. There are plenty of people who are willing to help him out there.
Well, he had stellar legal help because of the money that he was able to raise. So he was not wanting for legal help. He had the finest legal defense fund standing by. And right now, just to be clear, he has not filed any legal actions, even though I've seen YouTube videos and tweets and other things saying, like, he's filed huge lawsuits against The View and other media corporations. I can't find it, and they're saying that he hasn't. And as of now, according to the Rittenhouse team, there hasn't been any legal filings. Nobody, and he says, you know, nobody's sitting around planning anything right now, that they have any plans for this. I mean, he's, and I think that there's anger. There's a lot of anger from the left that he's now suddenly a right, you know, he's like somehow a right-wing star.
I feel that. I absolutely feel that. There's a kid who had no business going out with a gun and people got hurt and he walked away with nothing. I don't know if it was premeditated or racially motivated or anything, but I do feel upset that there were more than just him out there with illegal guns, and all of those people with illegal guns were fine. Yes, right. Of course I feel that.
And a judge throws out the gun portion of the law, you know, of the case.
Yes.
When that was the most provable piece of it, and that he even admitted to on the stand. So there's a lot to not like about this situation, but that the fact that he's now, you know, President Trump invited him down to Mar-a-Lago. They took the pictures together. He was on the Tucker Carlson show doing an interview. He even came out and said he supports Black Lives Matter. So there's a lot of like, I don't know, reflection. There's a lot of hand-wringing about this whole thing.
Did you know that our justice system was actually built on defamation cases? They are the earliest cases in American history, because if you impugned somebody, it used to be that you only did business with people in your surrounding town. And if I talked badly about you, then you had the right to sue me, because then I couldn't do business with other people who believed that I was a scoundrel, right? And so that's not the... whatever these people said about him have only proven to boost his reputation,
right,
as somebody who, now this is a guy who we would never read his book, but now millions of people would, right? He does not have a reputation problem. So again, I think that would also be hard to prove. I feel like these stories saying that, ooh, you know, Whoopi's going to be punished. Like, this is just, it's an inside baseball, media punishing media. Yeah. Type story, but I don't feel like it would be a really like slam dunk for him and his team, and also not, you know, awesome for his brand.
No, and you know, you have a lot of conservative media coming out and saying, we think you have a case. Like, we, like, really? It's easy for you to say out there looking in,
yes,
like, oh, you think there's a case. Lawyers are always going to say that. You know why? Because they want the money. They want the high profile. They love for you to hire them.
But also, it's part of American culture to just throw around that I'll sue you.
Yeah, I'll sue you. And then what? So they are excited about it because if it's in the press, if we can keep Kyle Rittenhouse's name in the press, right, we can keep doing interviews with him. It's good for the media. It's good for them. It's good for Fox. It's good for these other companies. It's good for CNN, quite honestly, to have his name in there, and that he's suing The View and all this stuff, even though it's not true. To have his name out there certainly is going to drive numbers.
Yeah.
But you have conservatives that have come out and said, he has a case. He has a case. A number of figures on that Tucker Carlson interview were like, he has a case. He definitely has a case about defamation.
Tucker Carlson is not a lawyer who specializes in defamation,
right.
You know, he unless you actually have somebody there who's saying you have a case based on these precedents. Again, I think it'd be really hard case to win, and it would just be a PR move. But I mean, even any of this is getting pressed from us, because we're like, oh, the media is like slapping at each other over what you think or have said about Kyle Rittenhouse. And
I'm just trying to correct the record here on this, you know, that no, he has not sued Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar.
But where do these rumors come from? Is somebody still wanting the clickbait about it?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, somebody shares this on, you know, on Twitter and Facebook. Kyle Rittenhouse has filed a $60 million defamation lawsuit. No, he hasn't. Like, that's not true. He has not. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on this. We'll see if he does. I think it's a very hard case for him to deal with. Especially, he wants to move on with his life, I think, at this point. After you spend that amount of time in the spotlight dealing with this, do you want to spend the rest, like another 4 years, going through a defamation lawsuit?
I don't see that happening, and I don't see it as an easy win, is all I'm saying. I think the chat room erroneously thinks that I'm defending him or thinking that, like, oh, the poor kid's been through enough and that's how he feels. I don't know how he feels. I just think that that would be a really uphill battle, and any good lawyer is going to tell him that.
Right. But most lawyers are going to want the money. So they're going to say, sure, we could go after that. And after you spend $1 million, you know, filing this lawsuit, well, we might probably, you know, they're not going to tell you that we're going to probably lose this thing. You're going to go up against ABC.
I think good lawyers will tell him that.
Hopefully.
I just feel like this is a way for the media to point out how we're polarized because, like, oh, Whoopi shouldn't have said those things.
Yeah.
Let's slap down, you know.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, let's move on. We've got one more sponsor, and then we're going to tell you what's trending on the show today. Will you tell us about our friends over at Masterworks? Or would you like me to? I'm happy to.
Why don't you do that?
Once you realize what's happened in the last month, the only thing you can say is, oh my gosh, what is happening in these markets, for crying out loud? Every company on the planet right now is hopping on the metaverse train, right? Everyone's saying, what's going to happen with the metaverse? What's going on with these stocks? We just talked about these stocks going up and down craziness today. Moderna up. You know, what's going to happen if we go back into a lockdown? Elon selling his Tesla stock because Twitter told him to do it. I mean, and inflation just hitting a 30-year high. It's craziness out there. You know, quality chaos does keep things interesting. But when it comes to your financial well-being, less is more. You don't always need to take big risks to get big rewards. In fact, there's actually a dependable asset class out there that billionaires have used to grow their wealth for generations. And you don't have to be a billionaire to take advantage of this. In fact, its total value in this asset class is going to expand over $1 trillion in just 2 years. 2 years. And it beat the S&P 500 by threefold from 1995 to 2020 with nearly zero correlation to public equities. No tie to the stock market. So totally ran separately from what the stock market craziness was doing. These ran up, up, up. This may shock you, but this asset class is contemporary art. Yes, like the art you hang on a wall. New York City's newest $1 billion fintech unicorn is Masterworks.io. They have revolutionized the lucrative art market by making multi-million dollar paintings accessible to anyone. You can invest in them like a company's stock. You don't have to buy all of a Picasso. You can buy a fraction of it. With already over $250 million they've already added to this. Masterworks is off to the races. You can skip their wait list and you can get access today to these different artworks. All you need to do is go to masterworks.io/invest. It's .io, not .com. It's .io. Masterworks.io/invest. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Go there, check it out, see if it's a fit for you. But this is a great way to diversify your portfolio. I've always said that one of the best ways to, you know, build wealth for your family, real estate, art, precious metals. We can add to that crypto now. But art was always inaccessible to people. And Masterworks is making it so that you can actually invest and you don't have to be a billionaire to do it. A really, really smart move from Masterworks. So thanks to them for supporting the show. All right.
Okay, we're going to tell you what's trending now before we get out of here and read your super chats. By the way, make sure you hit that like button. And are you subscribed to the newsletter? I hope you are. We run down a lot of these topics in the newsletter. You can read through them, click the links, keep clicking through until you know what's going on, and then come and join the chat and tell us what you think about those things. It's morninginvest.com. It's free. All you need is an email address, and it will hit your inbox every day. Okay, so what's trending?
First of all,
Spirit Airlines flight attendant attack is trending because a woman attacked two flight attendants by punching them and pulling their hair on her flight. She was subsequently arrested for public intoxication, and she was yelling, "I didn't do anything wrong, just shoot me then." So that happened, and there's no video of it.
Okay.
Clayton's looking, but I don't believe there is. If there is, I didn't see it. Julia Roberts' kids is trending because the actress posted photos of her 17-year-old twins when they were babies, and she rarely posts any photos of her children, and people like it when she does. They are now 17. She also has a 14-year-old with her husband. What's his name?
Lyle Lovett?
No.
Well, she's not still married to him?
No, with her husband, Richard Gere. I don't remember the name of
him. Was she married to Richard Gere?
No, she was not.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Journalist Laura Logan is trending for an appearance on Fox News in which she compared Dr. Anthony Fauci with Joseph Mengele, or Mengele. She says Mengele. Mengele. Okay.
Let's start that over now that you're on camera. Okay. Because we're going to do this separately.
All right. Journalist Laura Logan is trending for an appearance on Fox News in which she compared Dr. Anthony Fauci with Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor known as the Angel of Death. Now, we do have a clip of this, and people are saying, oh my God, it's Hanukkah. Don't mention any Nazi figures. Don't, you have no right to talk about this. I feel like the way she frames this, she does have a right to talk about this, but we're going to discuss it. Why don't we play the clip, please?
So good at both understanding the details, but also how to take it into the bigger picture of what we're going into right now. As Omicron is being introduced and you hear people talking about it, Lara, what's your take on where we are and where we're going?
Well, it's very simple, Pete, right? You just have to look at Africa. They didn't have the death rates from COVID that were predicted. And what is happening over time is that the entire response to COVID and everything that we were told about it from the beginning is being exposed and it's falling apart. The lies are coming apart. And really now, there's no justification for putting people out of their jobs or forcing vaccine mandates for a disease that ultimately is very treatable. It's cheap to treat. Medicines are available all over the world, and it has death rates that compare very much to seasonal flu. And so in that moment, what you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps. And I am talking about people all across the world are saying this, because the response from COVID, what it has done to countries everywhere, what it has done to civil liberties, the suicide rates, the poverty, it has obliterated economies. The level of suffering that has been created because of this disease is now being seen in the cold light of day, i.e. the truth. And people see that there's no justification for what is being done. So as they're being exposed and the control is slipping away, lo and behold, another variant surfaces, and nobody should be surprised by that, because there will be more variants until the end of time. We'll never be free of them.
Well, you know, Will.
Okay. Now, she did not say that Anthony Fauci is like this Nazi doctor. She is saying that people are saying that to her, and people are saying that. A lot of people think that COVID lockdowns are draconian, and they're not sure about the science behind them, and that they are concerned about their civil liberties. I don't have a problem with anything she said there. What do you think?
Well, I mean, okay, so there was no pushback, though, from the hosts to say, well, which people are saying this? She says people all over the world are comparing Fauci to Dr. Mengele, who did experiments on Jews. Like, so you're saying that Dr. Fauci literally is like... It's never a good idea to compare someone to Nazis. I mean... Because it always you always go there and you're opening up a can of worms with this. So what you're saying is Dr. Fauci is like Dr. Mengele, who is actually running experiments on human beings
in concentration
camps.
Yes, that is extreme. I thought that she was specifically talking about taking away freedoms, not actually a human.
Well, she's dancing around it a little bit, but let's just quote her specifically. She says, what you see on Dr. Fauci, and she says, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, she says. Okay, she goes on, and I'm quoting her, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in concentration camps. And I'm talking about people all across the world are saying this because the response from COVID, what it has done to countries everywhere, what it has done to civil liberties, the suicide rates, the poverty, it has obliterated economies. So that's not what people are saying about Dr. Fauci. They're not comparing him. I've never heard this, that they're comparing him specifically to people like Joseph Mengele in a concentration camp, you know, testing skin and burning them and injecting people like that. That's not what I'm hearing. but maybe I heard it wrong.
Okay, you're right. It is. It's hyperbole.
And why would the host push back on that question? Like, if I was interviewing her at that time, I would have said, Lara, they say her name is Lara. Lara, well, who's saying that? Who specifically is comparing Dr. Fauci to Joseph Mengele? And then she would say, well, people all over the world. And I would say, well, no, what well, people?
Who?
Well,
right. Who?
Like, I just want to know, you're making a pretty specific charge. If people all over the world are saying this, show it to me. I would like to know.
But do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? The point that she's trying to make here is about civil liberties and the fact that we will continue to lock down people based on new variants as long as the virus continues to mutate, which it will.
Civil liberties are one thing, but people being taken in the dark of night into concentration camps,
okay,
on trains, separated from children, and gassed, checked, and tested, and done whatever else, like, their civil liberties were gone long before they were loaded onto train cars and sent to Auschwitz, you know, or any number of other concentration camps.
So then, I mean, the company line right now is, oh, Lara Logan, you used to be such a respectable journalist. What happened to you? Is that where we're going with this?
We are in this cancel culture, right? So now is she canceled because she says this and we automatically jump to these conclusions?
Well, she won't be on Fox. On Fox, they'll be like, no, that's all right. Because, you know, they want the more controversial things like that. But at the same time, I don't know.
I think it's always a mistake. Look, I want to cancel her. Like, I think she's dancing around. I think she's trying to make a point that she could have chosen.
That maybe she took too far, right? That doesn't mean that she's a crazy person.
No, it doesn't mean that she's a crazy person. I mean, she has a long, you know, history of being on the front lines and covering important stories. But I think anytime you're choosing Nazis as a comparison, you're always looking for trouble. I mean,
now, also in her recent appearances, she said that she has been through bone cancer and that her bone cancer doctor had told her that there was different strains of COVID when he was looking at her bones or in the bones or something. It didn't completely make sense, but it was something that her oncologist had said to her about cancer, like the variants of COVID. And how, of course, COVID has, I mean, the coronavirus is not a new virus. It's specifically this mutation that we're concerned about. I think that's the point she was trying to make. I don't want to make excuses for her, but maybe I do a little because I've always respected her as a journalist. So I want to be careful.
I just don't understand her point when she says you have to look at Africa. She said, they didn't have the death rates from COVID that were predicted. Well, they also, the numbers of reporting in Africa have been awful. Like,
yes.
I mean, we don't have the data. So, you know, I mean, you know, if you're out there, if you're saying that when you look at Africa, they didn't have the death rates. Well, where are you getting your data from? Because the data from that area, part of the world, has just been like a black hole. Like, we just have not gotten good reporting on death rates or cases or tests or breakthrough cases or anything from that region.
But going back to the story we started with, we don't have that data about our own FDA approval of COVID vaccines. We're asking for it and we're told 55 years, right? So was any of that experimental? Who knows?
No, and I agree with her on that point, right? She's saying like these lies that we were told in the beginning are falling apart and lies are coming up. I get that piece of it. So I just think when you start bringing Nazis who are testing on Jews in concentration camps against their will, that's a whole different can of worms.
Okay, I don't know about this dog pile on her right now. Like, yeah. Shut your face, Lara Logan. You used to be a, you know, respectable journalist. You
People make
say
mistakes.
Like
I've said stupid things in my life. You know, you're canceled now. You can't ever speak again. This is ridiculous.
Many
you know?
Times. Yeah. Oh, many times I've have said I stupid said things. Stupid
all, yes, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. What, all yeah. the time.
You don't have to jump on that. You don't have to punctuate that anymore.
Just the finger was just happened to be pointing at it. Didn't mean where that finger was pointing at.
All right. You want to hear about something else stupid that someone said?
Yes.
Geraldo is trending after journalist Geraldo Rivera, also on Fox, expressed outrage that Ghislaine Maxwell was denied bail and has been in prison for 17 months. Do you want to play the clip?
Daryl Brooks, the creep who ran over his girlfriend and killed six people in the parade, and he was out of $1,000 bail. Ghislaine Maxwell has been in jail for 17 months for no bail. They gave her no bail. She is sitting in prison prior to trial accused, get this, of events that happened between 1994 and 1997.
She's a flight,
excuse me,
risk.
A flight risk. She offered to put up a $28.5 million bond.
She's going to escape to a country that has no extradition.
So you take her, you throw her in solitary confinement.
Allow me to educate you on
solitary confinement.
Bail law.
17 months.
You're defending
17
a sex trafficker.
I am defending justice.
Sex trafficker.
The prosecutor in this case are guilty of political lawyering.
She deserves to sit in jail.
Because you don't even know she's guilty. How do you know?
Because she's a flight risk because she was hiding during COVID.
She was not hiding.
In the Northeast.
She bought a house.
Oh, yes,
in
she
New
was
Hampshire.
A $1 million house.
They hold
her. Let me educate you
because
really
they don't
quickly.
Have a case.
Let me
they
speak.
They have no case.
This is the
case
segment I'm running.
They're trying
here's,
not to try Jeffrey
here's
Epstein.
Here's the federal bail law. You're allowed, in 1984, Congress passed federal bail law. You're allowed to deny bail on two grounds: flight risk and danger to the community.
Where is Jane Maxwell going to hide? Where is she going to hide?
Everywhere.
She can hide overseas because nobody knows where the money is.
This is ridiculous.
Way to stand up for a sex trafficker.
Mob justice.
One more thing is next.
Mob justice.
So, it's not popular to defend Ghislaine Maxwell, and that's why.
I love Geraldo, though. I think, you know, he's sticking his neck out there on this. Like, I don't agree with him on this subject, but I think what he's trying to do is stand up for the side of justice on this. And he says, you know, is politics at play? Are these prosecutors playing politics with this? We let other people off who are quote unquote flight risks. I mean, look at the guy who was just released on a $1,000 bond. He makes the point, and that ends up driving through in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and killing those people mm-hmm. who literally should have been held and wasn't held and gets released. And here, this, you know, what is she going to do? I mean, hopefully she's not involved in any more sex trafficking at this stage. But she was hiding. She was trying to keep away from the FBI up at that house. They were swooping in. They almost said that she got away with, like, leaving that safe house to go somewhere else. And of course, she would fly to a country, she'd get out of there so that she couldn't be prosecuted. I mean, of course that's what's going to happen here.
Yes, the government has the right to decide who's a flight risk based on resources as well. So, okay, it's just a kind of a funny conversation on Twitter that people are saying, oh, we're not surprised you're defending this lady.
Yeah.
Zendaya is trending because she and Tom Holland went to the Ballon d'Or. I'm sorry about my French. This is a ceremony about footballers yesterday in Paris and the dress. Now, Zendaya, I don't know if you know this, is a bit of a fashion icon. She can pull off pretty much any look. And if you, I don't have a close-up of that dress, but it's like, it kind of looks like spider talons. Maybe it's like a throwback or throw forward to the Spider-Man movies, but she's fabulous. And I just had to throw it in there because I do love me some Zendaya. She's also an East Bay girl.
Oh, those are snakes.
Okay, they're snakes, but it does look very
reptilian.
It doesn't look very comfortable, but that's not.
Yeah, like
not
if you're sitting
that.
Down, like no, sitting down.
Unless you're sitting on a stool, that looks really uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, you're sitting like with your back, like we're having dinner. Like, oh, what is that? Oh, yeah, I forgot I wore a snake tonight on my back.
Do you want to just watch some TV? No, I cannot.
Back, are you sitting on a snake? See, this is what women do to themselves.
What? I'm not going to answer for that. You gesture to me and ask me to make an excuse for her. It's beautiful. That's all I'm going to say.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's not practical.
Not practical. Not practical at all. And I think people just love to see her out with Tom Holland.
So I didn't mean to zoom in on her butt like that. I was trying to zoom.
Oh, you didn't.
No, but I have to zoom in and then up because this is like, it's pain. Oops, sorry. Where's my pan? There we go.
Yeah, the updo, the hoop earrings.
Yeah,
it's all good.
All right,
really good.
The updo. Hey, did anyone get a chance to catch my new youtube.com/paranormalpost video that I posted last night? Did you catch it?
No.
Did you watch it? What's the matter with you? You're my wife and you didn't even watch it. What's happening? Well, I posted a new video called Is This the Most Cursed House in America out of Indiana? And a famous story where, I mean, this fire poltergeist. So go check it out. If you're interested in paranormal news, and these are fact-based stories where there have been eyewitness reports, etc. I'm a huge fan of the paranormal. Go check it out. It was published last night on youtube.com slash paranormal post. Go check it out over on YouTube.
All right, David, not David, sorry. David Doppelganger, can you read us the super chats, please,
Philip? Yeah, Philip, he has a name.
Yes, I am Discount David. So, well, we did have there was a $10 super chat from Hans Wolf, and this was in reference to Paulo Coelho when we were talking about that. We said the cool part of The Alchemist is that some of the story changes to reflect on how our own individual lives have changed over the years every time you read it again. Very well written, amazing book.
True, true, true. Yes, as you read that book throughout, like over the course of your life, it's like one of those books I think maybe you should read every few years, right?
Yeah, I try to read it about every 2 years, and it's amazing how it has a different meaning for me all the time.
Yeah, I think the only other Paulo Coelho book I've read was What the Witch of Portobello, was really good also. And I've always wanted to go like branch out and read more of his stuff, but it just only occurs to me when I'm thinking about The Alchemist and how often does that happen, you know?
Yeah.
I've read another, and then one that I just couldn't finish. I can't remember the one about the Camino de Compostela, the pilgrimage that goes across Portugal to Spain. I didn't finish that one, but
was that one the pilgrimage? Was that the book, or was it?
Maybe, and I also read one something by the River Stone, I Sat and Cried, or something that.
Yeah, that's one of his also.
Yeah. So, but it's still, you know, I mean, he's even said, like you said, that The Alchemist was kind of channeled through me. It was, you know, he doesn't even completely know where it came from. It's a beautiful tale.
Yeah. No, I absolutely loved it. It's been years since I've read it. I think at this point, like, I kind of get that and The Prophet sort of mixed up as to which story was which, because I read them both like, in very close proximity to each other.
Thank you for that. I appreciate, I'm always willing to talk about it.
Yeah. Jason Frank in our chat says, Fauci has done a lot of testing on people, or testing, that if we were shown on this show, many would have a different feeling. Grover doesn't like that. Well, we'll see. Any other super chats, or is that it?
No, that was it. They had a couple new members join as supporters, and so the last one was just from Patricia Denko.
I went up and we had some stickers, and I like the stickers. Yep.
So oh, I missed those. The stickers. Yeah, I saw them as like having no message, and then when I looked over, I was like, oh wait, there's little animations over there. So
I saw them. So if you gave us a sticker, I give you that right back.
Richard Blackstone says, "Hey Clayton, your shirt looks pretty normal to me. Thank you." Thank you. I appreciate that.
I actually like it.
I'm going to go chop some wood.
After the show. It looks like something I would want.
You know where I got this shirt?
Write a novel in a cabin in Vermont.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's very comfortable. It's a comfortable Christmas shirt. I got it on Up. Do you like the company Untuck It? Untuckit.com. They have stores in the mall now, Untuck It. And they're meant to be worn untucked. That's it.
There you go.
Untuck It. And if you, untuckit.com, let me pull it up here real quick. Yeah, so I got the shirt there. That's what, and I like that company because then I don't have to wear it tucked. And they've got a whole bunch of, they're not a sponsor of the show, although they should be because I wear their shirts all the time. They have like a big sale right now. Anyway, that's where I got the shirt, if anyone's interested, in my that's worker shirt. Yeah, good untuck it, meant to be worn untucked. Anyway, thanks, everyone. Don't forget to check out the Paranormal Post, and we will see you back here tomorrow on the old show. Peace out, everybody.
Bye-bye.